Good afternoon. It is lunchtime, so thank you to the panel as well as the audience, who I believe will continue to grow, for skipping lunch to talk about elders. I am Emerald Cat. I am a pagan community organizer in the Central Maryland area. I use that term because I run a social group. It is not a tradition, it's not a coven, but it's a useful networking tool. And now I would invite the moderators, starting with Lois, to introduce themselves to, not the moderators, the panelists, starting with Lois, to introduce themselves to the tape.
I am called So Magical, among other things. I've done things like sewing and crafting since I was a kid. I've been a tarot reader for more than 30 years. I am the current guild mistress for the SCA's East Kingdom Soothsayers Guild, and I'm not quite sure how I wound up on this panel.
Oh, well, there's a lot of that going around.
You're an elder.
They're introducing themselves, please.
I'm Catherine Smith. I work primarily with RJ Stewart's material, although I've dabbled in a lot of other things. I think I'm here because I told Chipukun she could sign me up for anything she thought she needed an extra person on if I hadn't volunteered for it. I'm not sure at all sure I'm qualified to be considered an elder.
Hi, I'm Starwolf. I also don't really consider myself an elder, though there's several people who call me that, which is why I volunteered for the panel. I've been active in magic and the craft since the early 70s. So I definitely have it in terms of years in. So that's why I'm here.
I'm Shannara Coyote. I'm a Wiccan High Priestess. I was first initiated into Wicca in 1978, early 78. I've been High Priestess since 1980. I also have a background in core shamanic techniques. I've been a tarot reader. I'm a professional tarot reader now. I've read the cards for, since about 1968, 69. I was a kid, 68, I was a kid. I taught myself how to read the cards. So I have been involved in the esoteric community, in the pagan community, in the metaphysical community, in one way or another all of my adult life and part of my earlier life. So elders, the years have crept up on me. I still feel, in many ways, as young as I was when I was first got into it, when I first got into craft. And yet, when I look in the mirror, and it's that's not quite the story. Life happens. Oh, I'm also I still have my license. I'm an LCSW in New York State, so I have the clinical background too.
Okay, I'm Jane Sibley, and I grew up with this stuff. And then people start saying, "You got gray hair. we think you know what you're talking about. We're going to call you an elder." Mm-hmm. And, the moon no longer sings, so I guess I am an elder. And so I have never called myself an elder. Other people can call me elder, among many other very choice and interesting things.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we know that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of research.
Yeah, but having grown up with it, and with my father's mother, her mother before her, etc., this is an unbroken line. So they think I know what I'm talking about.
Me too. Same thing.
So the interesting consensus of the panel is that very few of you chose to take the term elder for yourselves. Is that a consensus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Do you think that's a consensus across the board of for most people who are called elders?
For the most part, yes.
But in some of the fluffy bunny, shall we say, more actively, quote, New Age, unquote, instead of those who have come to it recently. There are people that are very cheerfully going to award themselves titles to sort of fluff themselves up. But here we got the real thing.
Yeah. But of course, awarding oneself titles is a tradition that goes back to the 19th century, at least, if not back to Count Cagliostro back in the 18th century.
I think in time, people will come to embrace the title. It's a question of whether you announce it first or people start doing it and you eventually say, well, okay, yeah, I guess I am. Crap.
That could be it. What I hear you saying is that, is it like shaman? That nobody, the legitimate shamans do not call themselves shaman, the name is bestowed upon them by the community. I think it varies according to who you are and the tradition you come from. There is one person I respect very much. She's been a dear friend of mine for over 20 years. She went through an elderhood ceremony. She calls herself elder. She owns the title. It's basically because, but she's 70 years old. I mean, she's entitled to it as far as I'm concerned. So it's, for me, it's kind of a mix. It's how are you using the title and where is it coming from? If we're talking about your years and your experience, to me, it's not quite as offensive as, say, calling yourself Grand Lady Poobah of whatever it is. Yeah, it's just a fact of the stage you are in life.
And many times an elder is the person who has been immersed in it the longest, who is the sort of your local Alexandrian library. So somebody who you can consult and say, okay, I want to find out more about the use of barberry berries in potions. And I would say, I am clueless, talk to Ellen Everett Hopman or somebody else. The quote elder, unquote, would also be networking, know who the other people who knew what they were talking about. But you are sort of the library, the archive, for those who look to you as an elder, even though they may not be of your group.
Lois, did you have something to add?
No.
Did you have a question?
It was just, some people take on titles as a way of sort of self-promotion. If they want to be out there as a public teacher, they may take on titles that in private life they would be less likely to take on. Is that, I'm thinking, well, is that, does that resonate or make sense? Because none of you I see as really self-promoters, right?
No, that does happen. There are people who need the approval of others, and they feel that giving themselves a title will get them that approval.
Well, I was not trying to degenerate there or to put down these people. It's like some people are willing to be a public figure. And in order to be an accepted public figure, and you sometimes have to take on titles that you might not otherwise
choose.
The person who wants the plum job teaching better have a PhD behind it, even if they really think they needed a PhD, like a hole in the head, but, you know, in order to get the cred to get the job, they got to do it.
That's great.
Even if the PhD is an entirely different subject.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Jane said something really key a moment ago, when she said, the people who look to you as an elder. I don't think you can be an elder without a group of people who are looking at you and expecting that of you. You can't do it in a vacuum.
Okay. It's awfully hard to look at these shiny young men in Mormon suits coming along that are there in their 20s. I could be their grandmother saying, Elder so-and-so.
Yeah.
That brings up a really interesting question, which is, can people who do not have the physical age or experience, the physical age, be considered an elder if there's a group of people who consider them to be that?
I think that would almost have to be handled on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
In a case of somebody who is truly, say, a knowledgeable prodigy that people are actually coming to them, yes. In the case of where you have some of these charismatic churches that award a loud 10-year-old the title of minister and elder, that's more their attempt at, once again, self-promotion or promoting their group.
But even my teenage years, like somebody would come to me and ask me about some of the Norse stuff, and since I'd grown up with it and speak the language, I would be functioning as if I were a, quote, elder, unquote. In other words, a repository of knowledge and customs. But even when you're, quote, elder, unquote, you're still learning.
Yep.
And but part of the role is to teach. And if you have that knowledge at a younger age and somebody who is absolutely new to it comes in, to them you would be elder. To somebody else, you might be younger.
Well, if there is an age cutoff, what is it? And, you know, I've heard a lot of people who say, you know, you shouldn't be referring to someone as an elder if they're under 30.
But if they come from a tradition where, say, they come from a family tradition where they've been trained in a magical path since they were old enough to walk, they might have 25 years on somebody who started in their 20s.
Yeah. The problem with that, I think, is that you're, when you say elder, you're also expecting to get a certain, not just knowledge, but perspective and advice.
Point.
And a 30-year-old, most of the time, doesn't have that.
Right. Maturity.
Mm. They respect the old gray hairs.
Mm. Yeah.
They think that the 30-year-old isn't seasoned.
I've had gray hairs since I was in my teens. I was never carded when I would, because I had, by the time I was old enough to actually have the money to buy alcohol, I had enough gray hair in my hair and beard that they didn't bother.
I think it's a combination of factors, because if we also accept reincarnation as a given, it's not just this lifetime's worth of experience that we're looking at, but what have we accumulated in previous lifetimes, which, to be honest, most of us really do not consciously remember from lifetime to lifetime. So I think it's a combination of things. I tend to call, and what is the usage? Are we talking elder just in years, or are we talking elder in experience also? And who's, and what is the significance of the title? Is it just a generic sort of a term? Or are you talking about the age and skill set, which anybody can be an elder? Or is there more weight, is there more baggage attached to the title?
In your various traditions, because the panel does represent various traditions, is it actually a title, or is it simply the English word that we, as a community, have kind of started to use, Lois?
I'm not part of a tradition as such, so I can't even begin to answer that one.
The area I work in is not big on organization. In fact, one of his favorite quotes is that we're going to be an organism, not an organization. So, no titles, no degrees, no formal
structure.
Things you can achieve. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's an English word that's a convenient label.
In my case, I'm a semi-solitary, but I work with various groups in my part of Connecticut. They seem to consider me an elder, because they're always asking me questions and asking me to do workshops. So that, and the fact that at the local supermarket I'm now getting the senior discount without asking for it, even though I still have another month until I'm technically eligible for it, by their standards, I guess I am.
Hey, saving money is a good thing.
Yes, 10% off a grocery bill is always a wonderful thing.
I've come across the term elder for anybody who has been a high priest or high priestess or attained third degree in some branches of Wicca, but we don't use it in my branch of Wicca. We don't use it in the shamanic groups I've worked with. We don't use it in the tarot groups I've worked with. So it's just not part of my passion.
Yeah. I think you'll find elder used in some of the Asatru or the Neo-Nordic groups. But the way I grew up, no such thing occurred. You didn't have cookies, you didn't have badges, you didn't have titles. You were what you were, and that was that.
So not only is it not a term that you all embrace on purpose, it's also not necessarily a term that comes with a specific set of expectations. As this community moves forward, do you see any useful reason to create a generalized set of rules and structures as this community gets bigger and more diverse?
No.
Let it be known that all five of them shook their heads no immediately.
Yep.
No, I have been part of too many groups that establish unneeded structures and regulations and bureaucracy, and this one has been, this community has been wonderful in the fact that it doesn't have that.
I think we need a committee.
And also, given the relative level of anarchy that exists in the pagan community, getting one group to recognize another group's elders. That root lies madness.
Haven't we all seen two covens try to hold a joint ritual and the negotiations about which way you're going to do things last longer than the ritual?
Yes. Yeah. I was at the last Penzic circle they ever held because of that.
Poor soul.
Go ahead. Actually, please.
I just want to say, lying if you have a small group, I don't think having an elder is an issue. Yeah. But if you're trying to have a larger organized group where people are paying dues and you're trying to figure out a training program and what direction the organization is going in, if you don't have leadership, it makes things much harder.
Okay, I'm going to totally put myself in the panel here. Just because you're a leader does not make you an elder.
Oh, no.
I have a 400-person group organization, and I am not.
Can I also say from the other side, just because you're an elder, that does not necessarily make you a leader?
Yeah.
Now, let's look at that for just a second. When the five of you were discussing part of what makes you or doesn't make you an elder, I believe that all five of you used the term teach. Do all people who embody the general spirit of what an elder is, are they all teachers?
I'd say personally that would be, if there was one requirement, it would be having knowledge and being willing to pass it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Whether that occurs in a formal class situation or an individual informal mentoring situation or an apprenticeship or whatever, yeah, an elder technically is really somebody in the later stages of life energetically, if not chronologically, and who is concerned with the wisdom that went before.
And wants to pass it on,
disseminating the wisdom to the next generation. That goes with the territory. Yeah.
If you're not sharing what you know, what's the point?
Yeah. All you at that point are is the magical equivalent of a Trivial Pursuit champion.
I know that person. Trevor, you had a question?
Yeah. How is High Priestess, which you seem to take, you self-proclaimed this title, mm-hmm. how is that different than Elder, which you all seem to agree is like, well, it may be...
It's an initiatory title that comes from traditional Wicca. Once again, the meaning varies. Generally speaking, in the paths of Wicca and the times that I was brought into Wicca is when you were first degree. Okay, first you were a pagan, you were studying the pagan path, you were studying what it is to become a Wiccan. At initiation, you're considered a witch. At first degree, you're considered a witch or a practitioner. Some paths will call a second-degree witch, a priestess or a priest, that they're entitled to run rituals under the supervision of a high priestess or a high priest. And other traditions will call a witch an initiated witch at first degree, a priest or a priestess. High priest or high priestess is somebody who runs the coven, generally at third degree.
The larger bullseye.
Yeah, pretty much so. That's where it comes from. I mean, that and a fair card is going to get me on the subway. it's really not a very great big deal. But back some time ago, in certain circles and at certain times, it was a really great big deal.
This is more for, it seems, urban or organized things. In the North, you were just out in the boonies, and it's just what you were. Like, we mm-hmm. don't have any official initiatory steps, though I have essentially done confirmations. You are what you are, and designed something for them that they needed to be a but a firm, but you don't get a Girl Scout badge for it, a Boy Scout badge or whatever. It's simply an affirmation. You are what you are. And we don't have anything in the way of titles. You just are what you are.
Are there any other questions from the audience? I'm looking at you because I already looked at everybody else. Okay, so the next question in the ever increasingly diverse and disparate community, what do you feel is the best contribution that can come from those of your age and experience, which is what we've kind of consensed makes you have to take the title of elder, because the rest of us said it counts.
Is that again?
The question is, what is the best way that you can give back? Starwolf.
Helping others to not have to learn the hard way.
Aww.
By making mistakes and having to have the shrapnel picked out of their delicate little rear ends.
I'm going to say taking that young, enthusiastic person who's just discovered whatever it is you're doing, and this is the best thing since sliced bread, this is the one true way, everybody needs to appreciate this, and saying, hold on, cool, I'm glad you found this, I'm glad it's working for you, there are lots of other ways that work too. Just chill and respect those along with ours.
So being a coaster brake on somebody's enthusiasm without breaking their spirit.
Reminding them that, like Kipling said, there are 9 in 60 ways of constructing tribal lays, and every single one of them is right.
There you go.
Yeah, giving back what we have been taught, teaching others. Slightly off topic, back when I became a CPR instructor for my first aid squad, one of the greatest thrills for me was when someone who I had given her first CPR course to went out and was on a call where CPR was needed and actually was part of the crew that saved that person and brought them back. And knowing that I had given her that training, that was incredible. It to me, it was the essence of being a teacher, is seeing someone else go back and, you know, go and use what you have taught them to make a difference, a positive difference. I think that's, again, part of what being experienced, I hate to use the term elder.
I know.
But that's part of what being, you know, a teacher is. That is what it is. God, I'm sounding profound.
And if your student manages to go further than you did, that's wonderful.
Yes.
It's not a threat.
Yes.
Yes.
If anything, that's for me, that's one of the greatest joys of teaching, when I see somebody able to take a step beyond what I can teach them.
Yes.
And maybe teach me something then.
Yes. Yes.
Well, one of the things I run into is a lot of the people that want to hear from me, there's the language problem. And a lot of people don't speak Norwegian, Swedish, Danish, or can understand Old Norse. And so I am also sort of the link between, so that there is a great deal of documentation. The Norse pagan tradition is perhaps one of the best documented in the continuous line, but it's simply not accessible in the English language, and a lot of the stuff that is out there in the popular press and certain authors have been heavily influenced by Nazi material and Victorian material, which has no reference to what is in period. Also, people go by the book or the lore and not have access to the archaeological material, folklore, things that have been documented in period or how things are, and also recognition that traditions change as they go along. And now a lot of this, quote, New Age stuff is now part of the tradition, but it is recent in spite of some people claiming that this is the way they did it back here. Mm. So also having perspective on the changing of a tradition.
I think the term perspective is very interesting. I haven't quite figured out what I want to ask about that term yet, but I would like to keep that term in my head. Erin, you had a question?
Oh, no, I was a comment that, you know, if I think you're talking about if a student sort of surpasses the teacher, that's still a testament to your teaching ability because you were able to help them understand to the point that they could then synthesize the material and reach that higher level themselves, and they think that, you know, that still reflects back on you, and I think it's important to own that. I mean, it doesn't, because that doesn't take away from the accomplishment of your student, but I think it's important that, you know, you still recognize that still does come.
But there are quite a number of bad teachers out there who are threatened by the student or the person who works for them or the person they're being a mentor for becoming better than they are at something.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ego issue.
Yeah. So, as a non-elder, do you have suggestions for those of us who are not how to recognize when someone is full of it in that manner? Somebody who, you know, seems to know what they're talking about, but they're not at the level of maturity or gained enough perspective to see the value in giving forward and continuing.
When you're listening to them, how do you feel? What's your gut feeling when you're listening to them? What's your gut feeling when you step away and you go back and you reflect on what they've presented to you, and even more important, how they've presented to you? Have they come across as an ego person? Have they come across as a rigid person? Have they come across as my way, the highway? Mm-hmm. Are they unnecessarily abrasive? Isaac Bonowitz's cult, the indicator scale, I forget exactly what it's called, does anybody know, is very helpful in pointing out certain characteristics to look for in what to run a mile away from.
And I see, if somebody said, oh, this is the fact. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that's interesting, I haven't seen it. Where did you get that information from? And they might cite a New Age book, they might cite something from the 50s or 60s, if it's anything Norse and it's anything, they're citing a whole bunch of stuff that is post about 1825, Central Europe. I start getting a little suspicious because I've also studied those periods. Your studying is not only in just that nugget that is where you're specialty, but you study all the matrices that connect to it. For example, I've done a little, you know, sniffing around Wicca, sniffing around here, sniffing around there. So you have to see what's around you. You're a fish swimming in the sea, but you got to know the sea around you and the other beings in the sea.
I would also add a willingness to admit when they don't know something.
Yes.
Like to say, I'm going to have to go look that up, or I've got to check my reference works.
And a willingness to say, I'm not the expert, but she is, or he is, or they are in this area. Go ask them.
Or willingness to admit when they make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Did you ladies have anything to add?
Yeah.
Larry. I see him.
How they treat you? Do they treat you as an idiot child, or do they treat you as a rational being who can who simply is not aware of information?
That works both ways. Because you can have a student who comes in and they're unnecessarily abrasive and strident and know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to address that, too. And sometimes the way you address it is not making nicey nice. I was in a class yesterday when that happened, when the person who was teaching, it was a beautiful demonstration. That's all I can say. It was a beautiful demonstration.
I also saw that when I was up in the room watching Forbidden Kingdom last night.
Okay. Larry, you had a question.
I have a question about a situation that is being dealt kind of, sort of, with in Maryland. Young man has come to several pagan outings that have been sponsored in the area, and one of the comments that he made was, well, I had to check with my high priest and high priestess to see if I could even come talk to you people. What is your feeling on that situation?
That was the standard. Well, he could have put it a lot more diplomatically, but that was indeed the standard back in the late 70s.
Yeah.
Okay, and, so I'm looking at like a gardenerian era.
Exactly.
So that's a lot of the more traditional structured groups, that if mm-hmm. anything else, that is a matter of courtesy to both you and mm-hmm. to his high priest and high priestess.
Okay.
Whereas in my past, if somebody wants to go out and learn more information, great! Because you're not the repository and end-all and be-all. The library walls do not end with you. The world is your library. And if you can find out more stuff, challenge me. I love to be challenged.
Mine emphasizes pick an approach and get a handle on it before you start trying some of everything.
Okay, I need to put in one thing about the situation. The situation is he was going to a social gathering that happened to be sponsored by a social organization. It is not a class. It wasn't a workshop. It was a generic public picnic and ritual, which is important information.
Ritual. You said the word ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing applies.
Yeah.
If it were exclusively social, that might be a different story. The fact that it included a ritual, yeah. Like courtesy.
I would concur. If it was the local pagan bowling night, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to participate in the ritual as opposed to just being an observer, then maybe there's some conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would also like to know more about the particular tradition he was coming from to make a judgment to see, okay, is the tradition really telling him that? Or is he overreacting to something that the high priest or high priestess said
mm-hmm.
that's really not that strong a prohibition?
Mm-hmm.
Because I see people who are...
and priestess being overly, this is my way, so don't go outside the pasture.
Yeah. And I would be absolutely be willing to discuss with you his lineage after the recording's off.
Okay.
That's
I know nothing of the situation.
No, I know.
I have seen the... Ooh, the teacher is God. I must do exactly what the teacher says and ask about every little deviation. And the teacher is tearing their hair out. No, I don't want a groupie. I want a student.
So that's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. Have any of the other panelists had a similar experience where you end up with a student who throws you a little bit more on a pedestal than you are comfortable at all being on?
Thankfully, no.
Not really, but I've had the most miscommunication in many situations, not necessarily the teacher-student, but in many areas of life where what I was saying was not what the other person heard, and vice versa. And I would think I was communicating very plainly, but what they heard was something entirely differently. Every now and then it happens. It just throws me for a loop. I mean, I thought I was speaking English. Yeah.
I'm sure that there are people out there that have probably pushed me up a little bit, but everybody I treat the same. Doesn't get anybody any bennies.
Mm-hmm.
And going back on your comment, there are, I think, I don't know how many sects in the Christian church that says, if something makes you start doubting your religion, run away.
Yeah.
And I know we've chased off the Mormons and we've chased off the Jehovah's Witnesses. Too bad. I enjoyed the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
discuss the folklore of the Old Testament with them. They don't know the Old Testament very well.
No, no, no.
I just find the whole salvation on a lottery system that they use.
That is so far off topic.
Yes, I know.
It's fine. I'm trying to figure out a way
to bring
it back to the
topic. They're trying
to
be elders coming to your door.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic way to bring the conversation back around.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do, since you've been handed this title, position, label, word,
shoved into it.
Handed. Very.
Speak for yourselves. I don't know if I've been handed.
Okay. Okay. Here. But since you have been handed this title label, do you find interacting with elders of other traditions, specifically ones outside of the community, to be like? How does that work?
Love it.
In what way, Jane?
I learn. I broaden my horizons and get to understand other paths from people who are teachers of their own way. You just can't stop still. You know, who knows? Somebody might just have an aha moment and the fur on your arms rises and say, wow, this is great. Love it. This is one of the things this convention is for, is for bringing people of many different traditions so we can cross-pollinate, so we can talk, so we can understand each other. Love it.
Yeah, there's that moment when you look at something somebody from another tradition says, it's like, oh, that's the same thing we're doing with kind of different labels and a different angle, but we're still kind of doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how it would work if I tried doing this in my path with my tools, what results I'd get.
Gee, if we could just invite the Dalai Lama and the Pope, that would be juicy.
Good luck with that.
We could invite them. There's no saying that they would come, but there's no reason we couldn't invite them.
I could invite the Dalai Lama. Somebody else is going to have to write the Pope.
Starwolf, you have something in your head.
I've had kind of one of those encounters with an elder outside of my path when I was working at a bookstore in New Haven, and a pair of the Mormon missionary elders showed up, and I realized one of them was a relative.
Oh.
A distant cousin from Utah, because I looked down at his name badge and the last name was the same as mine. I had a few questions, and it turned out that he and I were cousins, which really embarrassed him, and the fellow he was with turned a funny color, rather like rather like a bad sunburn.
Did you ask them to take you off the list?
I've tried. But it was like, they just came in to buy something at this bookstore, and I looked down, and it's like, are you from X County in Utah? And yes. Are you X's relative? Hi, cousin. Just the look on his face was priceless. But at the same time, working at a certain Renaissance fair down in South Central Jersey, I've had some wonderful conversations with some young Hasidim who are just, they're wandering around after the fair closes and discussing, you know, what I'm wearing, because this stuff stays on even when I'm not at a fair or at a metaphysical conference, and what it is and how I use it.
So it seems as if we've come up with a little bit of definition for the term elder in general. It seems to be a combination of perspective and experience given by life in general, knowledge of your tradition, awareness of the other traditions that surround, impact, and interweave with yours, a willingness to put that knowledge back out into the world, as well as a desire to continue learning what you can.
And a certain maturity of attitude that says, my way is not the only way. There is no one true way.
All of which convinces me that next year, you're going to be sitting here, lady. Oh, yeah.
No, no,
yeah.
No.
No, she hasn't quite acquired enough gray hairs yet.
I'm working on the streak. You see it?
The kids will do that for you.
Oh, yeah.
What? Did you have a question, Charlie?
I did.
Okay.
So, I play an Oriental strategy game called Go. In fact, I arranged a Go tournament to happen today and then left. But, I'm the strongest player in Western Massachusetts. Certainly not an elder. But, well, anyway. But in the Go community, it's very clear that there are organizers and, in a sense, elders. But they're not necessarily, and almost certainly, usually not, some of the strongest players. And the reason I bring this up is it's a microcosm where we have a very clear ranking system. You can tell who the best players are. And then there are teachers and who are often very strong players, but also not even necessarily the strongest players. Mm-hmm. So in that sort of microcosm, it's very clear that the elders are often organizers or people who've just been around in the community for a long time and have lots of connections, but aren't necessarily the strongest at the game. So there's a lot of sort of ways I could go with that. Questions I have. One question is, how do I find a good teacher who is not necessarily going to be an elder? Who are the best practitioners, the people to emulate? What are the right books? And these are all questions I have in that microcosm. And you might imagine when looking at metaphysical, it gets much more complicated. For example, you don't have a linear rating system, and you can say, who are the strongest players? Well, you have a tournament, and you decide. Based on the outcome.
Oh, we should do that next year. We should have a tournament. But let me grab just a little bit out of your question.
Which wasn't...
I know. Yeah. So let me grab just a little bit out of your question, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to the question. But do you find a difference between, power level and elder experience?
And teaching ability.
Does the same kind of thing exist? Is every... we'll go with teaching ability. That's much less potentially blow up. The people who have the experience, do you have to be a teacher too? Are there some people that have more experience and have no ability to pass that experience on? Have you run into that?
Yep.
Let it be known that the entire audience is shaking their head yes.
Yep.
Is there a way...
I would like to abstain.
Yes, dear. Is there a way, or can you think of how that particular concern could be rectified in the coming years as the community broadens?
Take acting classes. Teaching is a performance art. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways in which you learn to relate to your students is to learn how to relate to an audience. Take counseling classes, take acting classes, take performing arts classes. They're all relevant.
Also, find an instructor trainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to teach someone how to teach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit down and say, okay, here's the book, read page, 1, 2, 3, and here's a test. I mean, yes, some people can learn like that, but it's not necessarily the only way to learn. And people need, a lot of people need to be taught how to teach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a skill which can be learned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There I had an advantage. My father was a college art history professor, and my mother was a teaching assistant in a special needs kindergarten. If you think about it,
wow,
that is the perfect combination for teaching out a magical path. Both academia and dealing with tantrums.
Yes.
I'm going to disagree just a little bit.
Okay.
Those are all wonderful suggestions if you're going to teach in a setting where you have a class full of people and it's an organized thing. I think there's a place and a value for people who teach one-on-one or, one or two people at a time, because some people just can't cope with the classroom type
mm-hmm.
setting,
mm-hmm.
just as some students really don't learn effectively in a classroom.
Yeah.
There's got to be room for both.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Most of my stuff is not in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Could be just an online question.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't have an oboe player teach cut cabinet making.
No.
Various people have different talents and different ways. Like somebody who has perfect pitch could teach, say, music, but not calculus.
Mm-hmm.
Those different ways of thought. So you link in. Where does that resonance come in? And it can be just say a single word or whatever. But you are there as a resource. And the student very frequently asks the questions, or somebody, you know, says, what do you know about such and such? Well, yada, yada, yada. You might look at this, you might look at that. And if you have any questions, ask me. If I don't know, I'll to say so.
Yes. Larry?
Okay, so what I'm hearing from the panel is that an elder is a teacher, an organizer, somebody who gets people to the right people. Still is learning and passes on how to teach to somebody else.
I don't think you have to be all of those.
Okay.
My RJ, I love him dearly. He's showed me some wonderful ideas, wonderful stuff. I'd hesitate to have him organize taking out the garbage. That's not his strong suit.
Elders and organizers are not the same thing.
Yeah.
Not so much that it's organizing an entire, 400-member panel or group, but you do have to organize, your own little sphere.
Ah.
Organize your
thoughts. I wouldn't say even...
Yeah.
Okay, your thoughts, yes, but... Some people may be inspired. They may have some wonderful things to share and insights into spiritual matters. And they need an external brain to help to organize them through daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, that works. I think there's a place in the elder community for the person who's just in there in the trenches and organizes everything and makes the community work. Even if they have no great spiritual insight to share. Because that's another skill the community needs.
As for teaching, it's still teaching when it's done one-on-one. That's often called coaching.
Or mentoring. We had that
exactly.
panel earlier.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We are closing down on time. There's about 3 minutes left so that we can all run and go to the 1 o'clock class. I wanted to invite the panelists to, if there's anything brewing in your brain that you wanted to say and haven't yet had a chance to go ahead and put it on the tape. And I'm going to start on the other end because I started with Lois last time.
I'm fine.
I think everybody's done a great job. Thank you.
I think you have done a great job as moderator.
Yeah.
Yes.
Way to go, Elder Intervening Cat Amaral.
To take what you hear and run with the next question. Not everybody has that presence of mind.
My father works for a nonprofit organization, so I have gotten his skills, and my mother's a high school math teacher.
So
between those two things, so I'm very good at organizing volunteers, and I'm also good at. Yes. So this has been the Elders Panel on 11/11/12. And thank you to all of the panelists and thank you to all of the audience members.
Thank you.
And thank you.